Hello and welcome back to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry. And it is a beautiful day, even though it's raining, it's a beautiful day. I'm here with Steve, and today we are doing a show on, hold your hats, finding your purpose in life, midlife crises, and what do we want to create from our lives. Fantastic show up on the dockets. You are listening to Mental Health Matters on KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial. Archived. The website's back up. We broadcast Tuesdays at 6:30 and Thursdays at 12:30. We rebroadcast. And like I said, all the archives are there. And we're putting together a YouTube channel as well through the Arden Counseling Center where you could archive, where you could access these shows. But that's not up yet. So, we're so excited to have Steve today. He's going to introduce himself and tell you who he is and why we're talking about this. Steve, take it away.
Thanks, Scott. My name is Steve Langrud, and I work with people in career and professional transitions. And over the last 25 years, I've worked with over 15,000 people on that process.
Wow.
And
that's a lot.
It's a lot of people. And so, as I say, if you look at statistics, my sample size is pretty big, and there are a lot of things that I've seen. And so a lot of things sound normal to me. And I think as individuals, they don't always seem that way because it's just us thinking about them. And so we're able to listen and put things in perspective.
Great. So tell us your background for a second and why you're so, why we should be talking about this with you today. By the way, I'm Scott Terry. If you guys didn't know it, I run the Arden Counseling Center, Arden Community Wellness Center, Fairfield Mental Health Alliance, which I run with a bunch of other people, which I invite everyone to join. Restarting Relationships. What else do? I do a couple other things. Okay. And if anybody needs me, you could always email me, scott@ardencenter.com. Ardent is A-R-D-E-N-T. Steve, so tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I think a little bit of the backstory is important, Scott. I think,
yeah.
You know, my first kind of search for purpose was to be a professional basketball player.
Yes, and you succeeded.
Well, you know what? I did, gave it my best shot, and that didn't quite work. So I made the next logical step, which would be to think my purpose would be being a prehistoric archaeologist.
They go hand in hand. Aren't they the same thing?
Well, it's a linear path, and so that was one. So I studied that, did all my field work in France on prehistoric projects, but there came a point sitting in a cave that I started to think, you know, this is fascinating, but what do you do with this stuff?
Mm.
And so I was offered a job at a lab in Bordeaux, France, and I got in the lab and I thought, wow, you know, I loved being in the cave more because there were a bunch of people around, they're filling with stories, and everybody had a purpose for being there. And I'm in this lab dating, cleaning, and trying to make sense of artifacts, and there's nobody here. And it's kind of lonely.
Mm.
So I went to the next logical step, which is to say, all right, I need to be in a place where I hear stories all day long. Who does that?
Mm.
Oh, therapists do that. Mm. So I finished my, you know, as I finished my undergrad work in psychology and anthropology, and then spent some time traveling and working in the ski industry, as they say, in Vail, Colorado, and then back to graduate school for a degree in counseling. And that's where things really started to pull together, that I really love these stories about who we are, where we're going, and how we get there.
And that's what we're really talking about today, is really coming back to this purpose in life. We often cite one of my favorite psychologists, Viktor Frankl, who I, again, always recommend. Read Man's Search for Meaning, reread it, and really find out what your purpose is. Why are you here? But what Steve's talking about is how he found his purpose. And another way to talk about purpose is to really talk about Dharma. Dharma, to me, is correct right action. It's who you really are. I was a therapist, for example, before I ever became a therapist.
Right.
My first master's is in interdisciplinary arts education, and I was doing documentaries on the elderly. And it was this fascinating documentary that did video and photographic documentaries, taught classes in expressive arts therapies and a number of things. But I was more interested in people's, again, the same thing, their stories, who they were. How the elderly weren't afraid of dying, they're afraid of pain. They're afraid of suffering. and how to let go of that fear. And it was so compelling to me that I had to come back to who I really was. It caused me to come back on my heels and go, what is my purpose? And it wasn't making art. It was helping other people in a different kind of way find themselves.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point, Scott, that some of those things come from experiences that you have and from other people. And I think, you know, one of the people who was influential for me was actually my mother, who, while I'd do all this traveling, I would keep journals and send to her. And then, you know, one day she said to me, you know, I have a question. She says, I appreciate all the things that you've done, all the writing you've done, and the fact that you share it with me. She says, but I have a little problem with it. She says, I don't know where you've been, and I don't know what you saw. She says, all you write about are these people you met and the impact they had on your life. And it was like a light bulb coming off of her reflecting to me, you know, saying, wow, here's this thing that you do naturally, have this interest in people, this deep interest that you're exploring and looking at the impact on you and on them. And that was really a pivotal moment to be able to say, that's right, that's what matters to me. That's my purpose, is to find these stories and to move them forward.
And so when we think about, we're going to talk a little bit about careers, but it's really, again, about allowing yourself to find that sense of purpose. But to tie, me and Steve were talking almost for like an hour and a half before the show today, and we were talking about this notion of being able to be idealistic and practical at the same time. That, yes, you're part of a planet, you're part of a society that money is important, and you can't be in denial about that. But if you're only doing for the money, then you're missing your soul and your sense of purpose. If you're only doing it for idealism and you lose that sense of being grounded enough to make a difference, because we're here to make a difference, and making a difference isn't just idealism, it's also the pragmatic aspects of the follow-through and the long-term follow-through of what that means.
Yeah, I think one of the kind of language cues that's really confusing to people in this process, Scott, is when people start to talk about passion and passion versus purpose. And there's all this language out there and books and conversations about follow your passion, it'll be okay. And when people come to me as clients and they say, well, I don't know what my passion is, and I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
And I say, well, let's change that language from passion, which is something you often just get excited about. I'm passionate about fishing, but my purpose isn't fishing. And look at purpose, as you said, in Dharma, what is that right action? It starts to get more clear. And you say, how do I act on that sense of purpose is very different and provides much more direction to you.
I think a really interesting analogy, and tell me if I'm stretching here, of thinking about in the same way I would in terms of working with couples. When I work with a couple, there's really two elements. There's connection and there's coordination. Connection is that passion, is that sense of, I love that person. But you know what? You could love somebody, and if they're a drunk or they're beating you or something's not fundamentally working, there's something wrong. Or if you're coordinated, you great parents, great way to live, but there's no connection. There's no fundamental soul that's, you know, all our life is about our kids. All our life is about making money. All our life is about, you know, doing what we're supposed to do, but we're losing ourselves and we're losing each other. There's also something missing. And so how do we have both worlds?
Yeah, I don't think you're stretching at all. And I think, you know, I can think of so many cases where someone comes to me and they say, you know, I've been a good student, I went to the right schools, I got the right degrees, I've been successful in my career, and there seems to be nothing there. You know, what's the, you know, there's got to be more. And so I think you're right. That's, you know, the coordination of that, of saying, I'm highly competent and I just don't care about this. And so there's got to be an exploration of stepping back and being like you with the couple to say, you can do perfectly well being coordinated, but it would be nice if there were a deeper connection and passion to come in.
Yes, absolutely. I have worked with people. I have one person who's worth many millions of dollars, and he's a broker. And yes, he has more money than, as they say, somebody himself, right? But that doesn't mean that his sense of self. And it's like getting more doesn't mean that you get you.
Right.
Getting more outside yourself gets you lost outside yourself. Thinking more doesn't make you think less. Emoting more, feeling more, doesn't make you let go of that feeling and create something more. And in the same way, acting and acting and acting doesn't always produce enough. Getting more money, yes, that'd be nice for those of us that are broke like me, but, you know, it's not enough. And then again, the other side of the coin, I'm Mother Teresa saving the planet, except I don't have the support system behind me. You know, there's something also missing. So how do we put it together? Yeah. So what do you think? How do we start doing this? How would you recommend people to do that?
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a really good point to be able to move to action. And I think of, a group of clients I have that are entrepreneurs who sold their companies fairly early in their lives. And I think of one in particular who we were sitting together and he said, you know, I sold the company. I had all this money, everything I'd hoped for, which is I would have this money. I could do whatever I wanted. And he says, I've been golfing every day for 6 months. And a week ago, I took a $2,000 set of golf clubs and threw them in the lake. He says, I can't golf another day. He said, I have to find something that gives me purpose. And he says, you know what? Ironically, my purpose is to start businesses and run them. And he said, I need to work through this and move forward. And so we took a step back to say, okay, what does that look like to say that your purpose is to start and run companies? And it's to be very clear about what it is that the purpose looks like. And that allows you to take action. And it's one thing to say it out loud and to use words. It's another to use words that allow other people to see what it looks like. And now it's real to more than just you.
Say more about this, because like I'm hearing this story and I'm thinking, okay, if money, for instance, for this gentleman isn't the goal anymore.
Right.
So maybe starting another business might mean starting an NGO, starting something which serves the world in a different way. It's still applying that same skill set maybe to a different organizational structure. So maybe its purpose isn't starting business. Maybe it's seeing the big picture and the organizational structure and how to develop that really was his purpose.
Absolutely. And that's the nuance of starting to do the work, you know, to be able to look at it and say, all right, what do you really mean when you say those words? And again, being able to say, this is what it looks like. And then he was able to say, well, I don't really want to start and run the same business I had, but what I really liked is working with a team to come up with this idea and then move that into action. And he said, you know, when I really think about it, I don't want to be responsible for it again. He says, I want to be responsible for it getting up and running. He says, I just don't want to run it anymore. And so he narrowed it down to a very, as you're saying, a very small activity that was consistent with his skills, consistent with his purpose, that he wanted that part, but he wanted to do that serially. He wanted to do it over and over again. He didn't want to do just one thing. And this is through over time coming out and through our conversations and him continuing to clarify and be honest and transparent that was the piece. That gave him the sense of action that he could take. And that was important because then rather than just saying, well, the easy thing is, well, I'll go start another business and run it and I'll be successful and I'll sell it. I'll go play golf and I'll throw my next set of clubs in the lake and I'll do it again.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah.
He had a much more tight definition of what that action would look like. And that allowed him to move forward into the next activity.
Excellent. By the way, you are listening to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry and Steve Lungrud today. We are talking about midlife crises, purpose in life, careers, dharma, all bunch of things. You are listening to us on 100.1 on your FM dial and on the internet everywhere on this planet. Shows are archived on KRUUFM.com. You could also email us scott@ardencenter.com if you want to reach me directly. Soon we'll have a web YouTube page up with some of these other shows. But right now, you know, as we start talking about this subject, and it's such a fascinating subject, it kind of also fits into a little schema that I was playing with, where if we start thinking about our purpose, we start with, you know, the way I would go is you either start from action steps to vision, but for most people, they really need to reconceptualize, which means starting back at that vision. The vision is who, you know, really about who am I? Who am I today? Not who I was 10 years ago, because your body, I guarantee, is different than it was 10 years ago. Your brain is different. Your life is different. Who are you today? And who is it you're creating yourself to be in the future that you want to start developing today? To develop a new system of how to be in this world. So start with that larger vision. Then you get to goals, which is why am I doing what I'm doing? Then I develop a game plan of what to actually do. Now we start getting more concrete. And then we go to what are our action steps? How do we do it? When are we doing it? Where are we doing it? And we make it really solidly concrete. But starting back with that vision, not, okay, I have this skill set, what do I do? Start with that vision again. What's underneath that vision? The vision behind the vision almost is a simpler way to think of it.
Yeah, I think that's right, Scott. And one of the techniques that I use is to ask people to deconstruct themselves.
Ooh, you know, nice.
And to really break it into pieces and say, okay, let's not worry about what you've been called.
Yeah.
Because we get hung up on titles in our society. And
yeah.
And when you ask people, well, you know, what are you going to do? They end up going back to first grade and they say, well, I'm going to be a fireman. I'm going to be a doctor. I'm going to be a teacher.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, what they see around them. But if we could get rid of that and ask people to start thinking about, well, what are the skills you have that you would use all day, every day? Because you have two sets. There's skills that you love to use and you're good at. And then you have skills that you're good at and you just don't care.
Mm.
And again, you, it's possible to be highly competent, as you said in the couples analogy,
yeah.
and not have that passion. So just be clear
here. Or you could have the passion. You're a passionate fisherman.
Absolutely. But, yeah. but that's not what I want to spend. I want to keep that for fun.
Yeah.
The second piece would be then to say, well, what are the issues or topics that I want to spend all day thinking about, talking about, engaging, reading? Third thing would be, I've got these skills. I'm applying them to these issues. Who are the people that are going to be involved in this little operation I'm doing, I call a profession or a career? Mm.
Is that different than resources? You know, people resources.
Yeah, I think it's very specific. For me, it's very specific because I want to think about who are the people I'm going to be with all day as colleagues. Because we've all had experiences where we look and say, you know, this is a group that I get energy from. I get a lot done. And there's another side. When I'm with these people, I get nothing done and it's no fun. So we want to stay away from that and move to the first. And then the second group is really critical. And I don't think we think about it very often at all. It's who will I serve? Who is the end user of my work? I get to choose both these groups of people. So it should be very clear that this is someone I want to be better off in the world. Old people, young people, you get to choose. And then the fourth and final element is the environment. Big things like geography. I need to be in Fairfield. I need to be in San Diego. I need to be in Australia. I need to be in my jammies, sitting at home, doing my work. Or I want to work, you know, from 8 to 5 or 10 to 4. You get to choose all those things. But until you say them out loud, they're not real.
Wow.
So the goal is to deconstruct those things and then put them back together and in a clear, cohesive statement that I say in a little bit of absurdity, you could say in under 10 seconds. So if I said, Scott, you know, it's great to meet you and it's really interesting this path you're on, what's going to happen to you? And what I'd want to hear you say is not, well, I think I'm going to be a pick the title, but to say, that's a great question. I've thought a lot about it. Here's what I think perfect would look like today. I want to use these skills. to work on these issues with these people in this environment.
Okay. So what are the four things again? Same again.
The four things are these skills, the skills I want to use.
So the skills I want to use. All right. So I want to be a therapist. I like the communication. I like the development of thinking.
Right.
To me, you know, I've been in business. I've been in therapy. I've been in the arts. And I've been a professor. So to me, all four things are all about paradigm changes.
Right.
So there's a construct to me that's the exact same thing.
So no matter where you show up, and this is a really important point you're bringing up, wherever you show up, you're the same.
Yes.
You can't help it. That's like your nose. It goes with you.
Yes.
And I think if we went back and asked people who knew you when you were six, they would say, there's something about Scott. He's always looked at paradigms. Now, whether they use that exact word or not, but you've probably always been the one who's bringing that up, looking at things differently, clarifying, bringing focus.
Okay. So if we're going to use me as an example, so that's great. So those are my skills. Okay. Next.
Next would be, what are the issues or topics you want to spend all day thinking about? Because you get to choose.
So in my world, I like thinking about theories and then applying those theories to an individual of, here's a way to help people shift.
Right.
And it's working a puzzle out with somebody else to make a difference in their lives. It's not just, oh, I'm here to hear somebody's sad story. It's like, no, it's what are we doing with our stories? What are we doing with our lives? That's the purpose for me of therapy.
Right. And if you pushed a half step further and said, okay, who are the people immediately around you all day as colleagues that do that with you?
Yeah, right. Well, I train and supervise lots of other therapists, which really gets me excited. I love hearing about other people's cases and students and other therapists that I train of all types. I find that fascinating to me.
Right.
So, okay.
Yeah. So if we said then the colleagues you like are people who need to be trained, who need to have more of your knowledge. The next thing would be, then who are you serving? Who's going to be the beneficiary of this work that you and your colleagues are doing?
Well, okay, so again, using me as an example. So so the people that are benefiting are not just, see, I'm a systemic therapist, so it's not just the client sitting in front of me who's depressed or anxious or whatever's going on in their life, but everybody around that person, the people that I can't see who are touched. To me, the invisible client is almost more powerful than the visible client. I like that phrase.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, that's pretty cool. But it's like, you know, I think of everybody as being connected. Nobody lives on an island. You still go to a store. You still have friends. You still go in the world and connect some way, same how. And if you shift, then everyone around you shifts. Just like if you have, let's say, bad PTSD from some traumatic event, you also shift the people in a negative way around you, and then they get secondary PTSD or other kinds of conditions. Well, in the same effect, in a positive feedback loop, if you shift, and if I could get you to shift, you bring up everyone around you, which brings power and purpose to everyone's life.
Right.
Okay.
All right. So we've got you using skills involving making paradigm shifts.
Right.
You're working on issues of training and development of help other people who can make that paradigm shift
right,
happen.
Right. That's two.
Okay. You're doing it around people who need the training.
Three.
Okay.
And then four.
And four is the people who are directly involved and who are connected to those people who will benefit from the work that you're doing with them.
Yeah.
And now the final piece we need to add is, what's the environment in which you ideally could do that?
So that's a fascinating question from my worldview, because the environment isn't, I don't like sitting in an office. I don't like squaring off with somebody. Whenever I can, I want to go in nature. I want to take somebody and help them transform themselves by being in the world and integrating what they're learning and growing with the world that they're in. So sometimes, yes, it might be in a more residential setting, in a house. It might be a cafe. It might be in nature. Yes, there's liability issues and all that kind of stuff. But in terms of clinical work, I like the idea of using the environment as a tool to make help transform people. So not always, but it's kind of a fun notion. Yeah. So in terms of, for me, the environment is critical. And if that environment is an office, well, that office then is also part of that environment. And how are they interacting with the environment? So it's not just my environment, it's the environment I see them interacting with.
Right.
Okay, sorry.
All right, so no, that's, if we start to pull this all together then and synthesize, so we've taken you apart, we've
yes.
deconstructed
yes.
you. Now if we put you back together, again, we would say you want to use your listening, reframing, and change skills around paradigm shifts with colleagues who can benefit from your experience and training, serving people who need the direct paradigm shift and the benefits to secondary people around them in an environment that includes nature as a transformative vehicle, that would make you pretty happy.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, the next piece is to say, okay, I know this about myself, but I have a little problem. My problem is, while I know myself well and I can define that and use really good language, I don't know everybody in the whole world who gets paid to have that life. And this is where we start to expand. And obviously, we've been talking to you as a therapist in that context. But the beauty of this is to be able to move beyond what you know and into all the areas where you could show up at a school, a hospital, a manufacturer, the government, and give that description, all of them would say, you know what, there's somebody here who gets paid to do that.
Right. So
and
that,
now we can explore.
Yes. So again, it's not always so specific. The bigger concept is really what's important. Once I get that sense of that's who I am, I could apply that as a therapist, but I could take that same skill set, apply it to being a professor,
absolutely.
Apply it back to my business world, apply it yep. back to being an artist, which would be a fun thing to go back to. You know, and so it's like that same dimensionality. We could play anyway.
Right. And that statement is your purpose.
Excellent. Thank you so much. Wow, this time always goes so fast.
Yeah, thank you, Scott.
Well, thank you, Steve. It's so wonderful. And obviously, we're going to do another show here on this at some point. Hopefully now, but we're going to do another show. But is there anything else you want to conclude with?
No, I think the main thing is that we be thoughtful and intentional, and that these changes are within our power. You know, that we can do this, and this is about taking control of those items, to say them out loud, to own them, and then to act on them.
Right. It's not to be in denial about what's ever there.
Right.
You know, I can't run because my legs are broken. I don't have any money, so I don't have that. But I do have other resources, and what am I going to create? Instead of looking at the negative, look at what can I create given my circumstances today to develop into a different future.
Yep, absolutely.
That's where your power is, and it's that taking back control over our lives which gives us that power and purpose again to do something.
Yeah, and that turns into an action that generates more and more actions, and if you do it once, you'll do it 100 times.
And you'll do it for everybody else and help bring up the world.
That's right.
Hey, Tikkun Olam.
Very good.
Well, thank you, Steve, once again. You are awesome. Thank you again for listening, everyone, to Mental Health Matters with Dr. Scott Terry at KRUU FM 100.1 on your FM dial. Bye, everyone. We'll see you next week.
Thanks, Scott.